Meet me at the reservoir.
That's South Dakota Skies by Rough and Tumble. Let's continue now with In the Moment. Adam Weber is in the studio with us today. He is the founder and lead pastor of Embrace Church, and we invited him here as part of our future of faith in South Dakota. This is ongoing conversations that we're going to have in the coming weeks, Adam, about what it means to be in church, to be in relationship with other people in the church, not just in Christianity, but because the state is a heavily Christian state, we'll have a lot of conversations about that. So welcome. Thanks for being here.
Oh, I'm so honored and excited to sit down and just grateful for the work you do.
Now, I've read the book, Talking with God, What to Say When You Don't Know How to Pray. I've seen your videos online. I even watched your news story during the ice storm when turkey vultures painfully dropped from the sky and were injured at your house, which
it's still
sort of a traumatic
experience.
I still can't believe it.
Yeah, we had the ice storm, and it's crazy. I will never forget watching a turkey vulture fall into my backyard.
Yeah. And the reason I bring all that up is because you are the kind of pastor that doesn't necessarily seem like, you know, the pastor that maybe a lot of people grew up with. If they think back to their early church days, you're on video, you're writing books, you're out there living a life and sharing that. Tell me a little bit how you got into, church leadership, faith leadership. How'd you become pastor?
Yeah.
What do they call you? Just Adam. Just Adam. Okay.
When someone says Pastor Adam, I usually try to look behind me to see if there's another guy named Adam that's a pastor. But no, I grew up Lutheran. My extended family is all Catholic, so I grew up in the church, born and raised in South Dakota, and yet really struggled with church, God, faith, all of it. So really struggled just in so many different ways. Ended up really coming to Christ and finding my faith later on in high school. And then went to Augie for business and marketing. Always thought that I would use my walk with Christ and my faith to impact a business of some kind and just do things that didn't make sense, whether it's generosity or doing service projects outside of my focus and my business or whatever. I always thought I'd do it that way. And then the summer before my senior year of college, a pastor was looking for someone to fill in for him. And I told him it was a bad idea, that I wasn't interested. And he said what every pastor says to make you feel guilty. He said, why don't you pray about it?
And I'm
oh, awesome. Thank you. I don't want to pray about this. And I ended up taking the internship that summer and fell in love with it. And so the rest is history. But I still, most days, I'm like, I can't believe I'm a pastor, and yet I love what I do.
Yeah. And I don't want to overstate this to the point where it seems like I'm dealing in cliches. But when you see you online, for radio listeners, you've got a flannel shirt and jeans on, you got a beard, you're just a guy. That you might see at the grocery store. What kind of message do you think it sends to people about authenticity and about different ways to sort of walk into this place? Because so many of us grew up, not me, because my parents were not like this, but so many people have stories of, church clothes, and, you're going to put on your best and you're going to put on something itchy and you're going to have to sit still for a while. And now here's this guy who's just up there wearing whatever he, went to the hardware store in.
And I've got nothing figured out. So I had to share that as a disclosure. But one of the things I love when you open up the Bible is there was the opposite of that. We have a God in Christmas that we celebrate him sending us Jesus to become one of us. And so all throughout the Bible, you see this approachability of even God himself, supposedly. And so it's something that I feel like we've somehow missed. I always say church should be the one place that we should dress down, mm-hmm. not physically with our clothes, but all week long we're putting on this persona of perfection. And church should be the one place that you can come and actually say, hey, actually, I'm struggling. Hey, actually, I'm broken. Hey, right now, I don't think I'm making the best decisions, and I need some help. And so it's almost the opposite of what we do oftentimes. If we pretty ourselves up, both with our clothes, which is nothing wrong with that, but also with our lives. We put on this persona when I think God wants us to do the opposite. He wants us to come right where we are, right in our place of pain or grieving, of hurt, of addiction, and say, hey, this is where I'm at. I don't want to stay here, but this is where I'm at today.
Yeah. where are we as far as, you know, when we look at the statistics about denominational affiliation? So when we say America's becoming less Christian, what we're seeing is more and more people are responding that they're not interested in faith, that they don't identify with, you know, being Lutheran or being Catholic or even being Buddhist or nothing, the nuns. Is that the case in South Dakota? Are you seeing numbers, you know, reflected? You obviously haven't done a scientific survey.
Yeah.
But how are you seeing the reflection?
No, I am seeing that. I am seeing in less involvement and less of attending worship be the norm. I know even for myself from Northeast South Dakota, most of my classmates, still the norm was to go to church.
Right.
It was just built into us. I mean, to make mom and dad happy or something. And I think that is getting less and less. And I think it's because people are deciding that it's not of importance, or it's not really, I can't apply it to my everyday life. I don't know why I should go. And oftentimes I think the church is like, no, you should. And where me, I'm like, gosh, I actually understand why a person wouldn't go to church. I actually understand why it wouldn't feel like it would connect. And because oftentimes it doesn't. It's like, here's where I'm at. And because it's maybe different, again, Jesus was so good at meeting someone right where they are. And right, just the place, don't pretty yourself up. I'm going to come to you at your lowest moment. Now come follow me. Where oftentimes I think the church is like, here's where we are. Now become like us. And then you can kind of come. Where Jesus is like, no, you can come right where you are. And so I think there's a bunch of different reasons, along with just the busyness of a weekend. I mean, oftentimes it's like Sunday's the only day to sleep in. And so if there's not that importance, it's easy to fall by the wayside. And so here's what's for me is exciting. An author friend of mine actually wrote a book about how this is an opportunity for the church to grow. It's easy to kind of feel like, gosh, this is really bad. No one's going to church anymore. And yet I think it's an opportunity for something wonderful to happen, for people to say, gosh, maybe there's a different way that this looks. Maybe following Jesus is supposed to look like this. And they're able to experience God for the first time ever before in a new way that's maybe different than what they were brought up with.
Mm. All right, so let's talk about where some of that brokenness lives. And how do you reach out to people? You know, when you mentioned Jesus walking around, you know, people are bringing the mat and, you know, sitting up there and saying, you know, this person can't walk, or there's, you know, people with leprosy, or there's, you know, there's all these stories. What is the disease of the day? What is the thing that what can you not bring to?
Yeah, I think the disease of the day is the disease of every day, of every generation. Everything from purpose to loneliness. Something that's so common right now is a battle with anxiety and depression and suicidal thoughts, or losing a loved one to suicide. And this past year, sadly, a pastor friend of mine that I've known for years, pastor of a large church in California, took his life. Mm. And I was the last person outside of his immediate family that he reached out to the night that he took his life. And so I want to talk about this. The church is not talking about it. My friend that took his life, he actually was an advocate for talking about depression and suicide within the church. And so we just began to talk about it. We did a series on it. It's the most downloaded series we've ever had.
Really?
It's the biggest response we've ever had. It was actually terrible weather the 3-4 weeks we did the series, so it should have been the opposite, and yet the response was incredible. And then my friend who took his life, his wife came out in November and joined us for an evening where we just talked about, honestly and openly, about anxiety and depression. And what does that look like? And oftentimes this is a church, and not to a negative extent, but we've just kind of said, we'll just pray about it and Jesus will take care of it. Well, yes, absolutely pray about it. I wrote a book on prayer, and Jesus is what I've given my life to. And so obviously there's the importance there, but also being able to talk about like, hey, you should maybe go see a counselor, or hey, maybe go talk with your family physician, because you know Jesus, he feeds our souls, and he's able to heal us physically. It's not an embarrassment to go talk with a physician, anti-depression meds, anti-anxiety, it's okay to have those conversations. And yet I think we've often brushed underneath the rug of like, hey, just trust God, just trust Jesus, and which is so important, but also we need to take care of our bodies as well. I have bad knees. I had 3 knee surgeries in high school, if I would have just been like, oh, I'll just pray about that knee, just whatever, I'd have been like, no, I think I actually need to go see a doctor for my knee. I heard it in a football game. And I think oftentimes we've done the same thing with that. And so just talking openly and honestly about things, I think, is what people are longing for of, I can relate with that. I can connect with that.
And the message for you of Jesus is, you can bring anything. Versus just going to the counselor, just going, maybe counselor's not the best example, because clearly you could bring anything a good quality mental health counselor. But I guess what I'm trying to get at is this notion that, you know, if somebody thinks the church is irrelevant and then they hear you talking right now, they're probably saying, there's a connection between those things. Like, I can come with that.
Yeah. I think for me, I grew up with an understanding that God wanted me to jump through hoops. And if I could go to church, maybe get baptized as an infant, make it through confirmation or catechism and not drive my mom crazy, that was kind of what God wanted from me. And yet we have a God who wants to know us intimately. He wants to know our pain, our hurts, our joys, our celebrations. He wants to walk with us throughout every part of the day. And I never heard that. And so I think that's what people are searching for. And that's what people are longing for. What's so cool for me on a Sunday is having people come and they're just like, I've never heard this before. Yeah. And it's like, maybe you haven't heard the full story about who this Jesus guy is, because he doesn't want you to put on your Sunday's finest. He wants you to bring yourself right where you are, to pour out your heart to him, we're told. In the Psalms, David talks about being lifted out of a pit of despair and set on a path of solid ground, and God put a new song in him. And I think that's what people are longing for. Like, gosh, I'm in this pit that I dug with my own two hands, and you're telling me that there's a God who's willing to pull me out of this, and he's willing to put a new song in my soul? Like, I want a new song. The song I've been singing my whole life of, I'm not good enough, and I'm too broken, and God wouldn't want anything to do with me, and I'm this and I'm that. I'm labeled by other people. You mean that doesn't have to be my song anymore? No. Your song can be a different song, that God loves you, that he came for you, that he wants to rescue you, that he wants to put a purpose inside of you. I think that's the part of the story that's maybe not been heard before.
We are going to have more with Adam Weber after a break as we talk about the future of faith in South Dakota. This is just one of many conversations. We're going to talk about technology a little bit when we come back with Adam. You are on listener-supported SDPB Radio. And welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're talking today about the future of faith in South Dakota, and this is part of an ongoing conversation that we're having, and we're talking with people who are faith leaders, people who come from a variety of faiths and are talking about interfaith communication, and people who've left the church, who've been injured by the church and want nothing to do with it. What does the future of faith look like in the state? My guest today is Adam Weber. He is with Embrace Church. He is their lead pastor and founder, and he's also author of the book Talking with God, What to Say When You Don't Know How to Pray. And Adam, I want to talk a little bit about technology in worship and the future of faith really being fueled and existing in this world of tech, for one thing. And this is something that you've really embraced at Embrace.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's good. No, we really have. And that even early on, it started out of naturally even just a part of who I am. Being on social media, even before starting a church. And so it really began to flow from that, and seeing how just as anything can be used for bad, for evil, it can also be used for good. And I think that's a great way to sum up technology. There's some things that are not the prettiest on technology, but there's also so many wonderful things with technology. And so early on, we began to use social media just to reach people and connect with people. One of the coolest things I'll never forget is there was a lady who moved to Sioux Falls and asked what church she attend on Twitter. And in a matter of minutes, she had four or five responses from Embrace folks that said, hey, I'd love to have you come to Embrace. Hey, the service times are this. Hey, you'd be welcome to sit with me. And it was so cool to see the power of that. For Embrace, so we're a multi-site church, which I'm still trying to wrap my brain around. But we use technology every single Sunday. whoever is preaching that week at our kind of broadcast campus, they get brought out real time to the other campuses. And now we have, I think roughly on a weekend, there's probably 6 or 7 churches that are utilizing the same thing. So on a Sunday, they'll utilize our message in their congregation. That's totally separate from Embrace. It's not got Embrace's name on it. And yet when they're ready for the message, they push play and the message comes up. They can do it right away, or they can wait if they're singing a song and they need to wait. And so just the power of technology is amazing. As a small town South Dakota kid, specifically with these churches that are joining us, it gives me so much joy. I just have a heart for small towns, and it's cool to think about maybe a church that might close its door, or maybe a church that's trying to figure out what its future might be. They can't afford a pastor, but they do have the ability to push play on a unit that can play the message, and so they can continue to worship as a church.
Which gets back to this entire idea of what is church,
yeah,
in the first place. Because in your mind, can it really be a group of, you know, 5 friends in rural South Dakota who decide to gather together on a Tuesday and watch a video? Is that church?
I would. So the kind of the technical answer for that is the church is the gathering of believers. It's the gathering of people around the name of Jesus. So ultimately, what I would say is kind of church in a summary, and that can look so different. Honestly, even when I'm grabbing coffee with a friend down here at Cafea, and we're talking about God, wherever 2 or more are gathered, I feel like in many ways, it becomes a worship service. It's like, gosh, it feels like there's something more than just you and I talking, mm-hmm. but we're discussing God. Even the moments of, I live up by the Cathedral District. The other night, there was a gentleman who came up to me and was struggling with addiction. And he said, I'm tired of struggling. And I didn't tell him I was a pastor, but I just began to encourage him. And my neighbor and I, we actually hugged him. And we just said, we just want you to know that we care about you. And he told us, he said, I've never had anybody in my entire life say they love me. And we said, well, this might be crazy because we just met you, but my neighbor and I, we both love you. And also we have a God who loves you as well. And he began to tear up and get emotional. We prayed for him. And I honestly believe that we had a worship service that night in my back alley. Mm-hmm. And so I think it can look differently, but I absolutely do. One of the kind of cool things, maybe this is the modern version of the Apostle Paul. When we first started our first campus, someone said, do you think that a Paul would have preached on a screen? Because when I preach, it's brought out. And I said, no, I think Paul would have written letters. It's like it's exactly what he did. And like the early Methodist church, John Wesley, the Methodist church was criticized for not having pastors. They just had these men who would get on a horse and ride from one place to the next, to the next, to the next. And it's maybe that modern version of writing letters and riding horseback is technology. And so it's kind of cool just to think about what technology has the ability to do.
Does it give you, you know, when you say that, and I look at some of the numbers and the statistics, and I hear people who have a lot of anxiety, people who have a high value for what church has meant in their communities, in their lives, and that can be their relationship with God, or it can just be their relationship with other people. You know, this is where we came, and they have a sense of anxiety. But what you're just explaining is, you know, this isn't the first time in history that the church has been challenged, that the Christian message and that Christians have been challenged specifically with what does the future look like?
Yeah, this is not the first time the church has been challenged. I think we have such, and this is true of life in general, I think whatever we've done for like 4 or 5 years, we were like, this is how it's always been. Right. And I'm like, no,
actually.
There was
always Jell-O salad.
I'm like, this is not the case. And so instead of being anxious, specifically for someone who's faith-filled, we have a God who is faithful, and he is outside of limitations. And so it might look different, and sometimes change is hard. If I'm in a small community, I just think about the communities that have lost schools. And I mean, that's a reason to grieve. Like, that's okay to grieve. And even though what a church might look like, it's okay to grieve those things. I think you would not be human if you didn't. And yet, again, if you're a person of faith, gosh, tomorrow the sun is going to come up tomorrow, and it might look different. And yet, for me, that's exciting. I always say, when I'm 80 years old, I hope I'm at a church where I don't like the music. And I can't really connect. Like, I really do. If I'm at a church and I can connect, I'm like, gosh, no, what are we reaching for? How are we reaching the next generation?
All right. Where can people go online to connect with you?
Oh, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter if you want to. You can kind of follow messages at iamembrace.com. Okay. But I would be overjoyed if you ever see me sitting around at a coffee shop someplace, please say hello. It'd be an honor to meet you.
Adam Weber, thanks for stopping by and being human with us. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.